Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Nikki Maduro. It's now time for John Rothman on KJOA 10.
And it's true. There is no place I would rather be than right here on KGO. Good night, Nikki. I will see you tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow sitting in for Grex. Grex is out ill, but I'm delighted to have the opportunity to be here. And, of course, there really is no place I would rather be than right here with you. And what a night we have ahead of us. So much to talk about, and we're going to do it all right here on KGO. So let's get right to it. Oh, wait, I forgot to give you the most important information. The phone number. 808-0810. Remember, this is interactive radio. That means I want to hear from you. It's very important. All right, let's get right to it. And I'm going to whip through a few major political items because we're only going to talk politics for an hour. So let me give it to you clearly. Today, the New York Daily News ran an editorial. Donald Trump must end his campaign for the White House in a reckoning with his own madness, while praying that nothing comes of his musings than an assassination of Hillary Clinton. In the event that Trump fails to abandon his candidacy, as he seems determined to, the Republican Party, including vice presidential nominee Mike Pence, must instead, listen carefully, abandon Trump for toying with political bloodshed. Well, that's the mild part of this editorial, which is very firm. And I don't know if you saw Peggy Noonan's latest column. She was Ronald Reagan's speechwriter. This week they decided Donald Trump was crazy. She laments the mad scatterbrainedness of Trump's conduct, his heartless attacks on the grieving mother of a heroic American soldier, his gratuitous stub of Paul Ryan and John McCain. And you know how Noonan sums it up? I mean, remember, this is the speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, who wrote the famous D-Day speech. She said, when you act as if you're insane, people are liable to think you're insane. That's what happened this week. People started to become convinced he was nuts. A total flake. On top of that, Donald Trump encountered something else today. 50 GOP officials warned Donald Trump would put the nation's security at risk. And this is a new list of people who are deeply, deeply concerned. And I must tell you that there was another fascinating bit today. Matter of fact, we have the sound of this, so maybe we can play Joe Lieberman. Former Senator Joe Lieberman announced what he's doing in the election. Remember Joe Lieberman? Al Gore's vice presidential running mate, a former Democratic senator from Connecticut, and then in his last term ran as an independent. Listen to Joe Lieberman.
Somebody asked me this question last week, and I said I haven't really announced who I'm supporting, but you asked me, and I'm going to just say it to get it over with. I'm an independent Democrat. I never change parties. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because I know her forever and her husband, back to when they were at Yale Law School. I worked with her closely in the Senate for 8 years. She's strong. She's smart. She understands national security. And what I was most impressed with in the years in the Senate together, she reached across party lines to try to build coalitions to get something done.
And that is a statement by Joe Lieberman. Certainly not a conservative, certainly not a liberal. He's really an independent guy. You may remember how independent he is. He actually backed John McCain for president in 2008 and was nearly McCain's vice presidential running mate. The problem was that he was pro-choice, and the Republican convention said to McCain, we won't take him. So instead, we got Sarah Palin. And yet another blow. Former Senator Gordon Humphrey, the senator from New Hampshire for many years, quite a guy, pleaded with the Republican National Committee leaders to remove Donald Trump from the ticket. He absolutely says that what happened Tuesday The gun violence relating to Hillary Clinton is the last straw. And he said, if this is not the straw that breaks the camel's back, if this outrage is not sufficient to inspire courage in the Republican leadership, not just Rance Priebus, but Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, then surely the Republican Party has lost its moral conscience. 8080810. Let me tell you, I think Donald Trump has got a big problem. A big problem. And you know the biggest problem he's got? The battleground states. The battleground states. Hillary Clinton's lead over Donald Trump has tripled in Wisconsin since July. You ready for this? Clinton, according to the polls, now leads Trump by 15 percentage points in Wisconsin, a swing state. 52% support Clinton, 37% for Trump, 7% said they wouldn't vote for either candidate, while 3% said they were undecided. You get numbers like this, there is a serious problem. And the last point before I take your calls at 8080810 may be, to me, the most disturbing. Donald Trump is now pushing back against a report that he had a conversation with the Secret Service following his comments on the Second Amendment. No such meeting or conversation ever happened. A made-up story by low-rating CNN. Trump tweeted this afternoon. But wait a minute. That's not what the Secret Service says. The United States Secret Service says it has spoken to Donald Trump's campaign about Second Amendment comments the GOP nominee made for president, not once, but twice. Responding to Donald Trump's denial, the Secret Service told CNN, there has been more than one conversation. 8080810. So let's talk about the presidential campaign. Let's talk about this. Let's try to figure it out. But it's not like Hillary Clinton is pure as the driven snow. Oh, no. Despite denials that the State Department and the Clinton Foundation had any significant ties to each other, while Secretary Clinton served as the nation's chief diplomat, guess what? A new batch of emails shed new light on the seemingly close relationship between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. The latest email release, by the way, it was obtained by Judicial Watch, and I get Judicial Watch's information, and they're very conservative, no question. They got the emails from a State Department Freedom of Information Act request, and they are, among them are several exchanges between a top foundation worker and state officials working under Clinton. I could read them to you. I don't think it had a huge impact, but I got to tell you something. This is terrible. And these emails were not from Hillary Clinton. They were Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mill for a favor on behalf of a foundation associate. I must tell you, and you've heard me say this many times, that what Hillary has done in terms of mixing up the foundation and the State Department was dead wrong. Now, she's not the author of these emails. It's members of her staff. And they're not particularly incriminating in terms of any criminal activity. But it shouldn't have happened. Okay, let's do it. 8080810. We're only going to do this until the top of the hour, so you want to get your calls in and get them in fast. What do you think of this? New York Daily News says Trump out. Gordon Humphrey, Trump out. 50 more Republican leaders don't want Trump. Trump denies talking with the Secret Service. Secret Service says he did. And the swing states are slipping away from Donald Trump. 8080810, I'm John Rothman. And I, of course, am in for Drex. It's time now for a traffic update.
Where conversations happen. The next generation of KGO 810. Where conversations happen.
I'm John Rothman in for Drex. 8080810. I will be back tomorrow night, just so you know it. But I want your comments. And There's an interesting headline, if you will, that appears on Politico, and that is that Donald Trump's rhetoric is getting him in trouble, that his incendiary comments are damaging. I want to know whether you agree or disagree with that. What does it mean? What does it mean when you have leaders of the Republican Party, members of Congress, all expressing their concerns? And by the way, what about Hillary Clinton and her emails? Does it make a difference to you? 8080810. Let's go to Carla calling from Belmont. Carla, lead us off. Welcome to KG.
Hi, John. I love you being the host, first of all, so it's a pleasure calling
Thank
in
you.
Here.
Thank you.
So I'm just starting to wonder, Donald Trump is shooting himself in the foot every other day with these incendiary comments, and over the last 2 months, he's raised almost $100 million in campaign contributions, but spent zero of it. So I'm just curious, based on your knowledge of campaign laws and whatnot, can he continue to raise as much money as he wants? And if he happens to drop out, he gets to pocket all that? I'm just wondering what
Okay, first of all, yes, when you raise money, it goes into a campaign committee. You're under no obligation to refund money. So if a candidate drops out or is defeated or leaves office, many of our own state officials, when they leave office, have these huge amounts of cash left over. So, yes, you can keep your money. I do want to say that I don't think he's going to drop out. I think he's going to stay in. And I think that is a real problem. When you have Trump denying he talked with the Secret Service and the Secret Service saying he did, when you have Trump saying that Obama is the founder of Islamic State, or as they call it, ISIL or ISIS. I mean, it's absurd. And when
right,
he accuses,
but he's raising all this money and not spending a dollar, he has nothing to lose and everything, lots of money to gain.
Right, but he will spend the money. They are planning a massive ad campaign, and his campaign has already announced that. And those ads will appear primarily in the swing states. And of the 11 swing states, Donald Trump is now behind in all but two. So
I will see it to believe it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch, and we'll see how that budget comes in. But I hope I've answered your questions.
You have. Thank you so much.
Thank you. 8080810. Look, I'm not here to blast Donald Trump every night or Hillary Clinton every night, but it's clear there is a severe problem. So I want your reaction. When Donald Trump denies talking with the Secret Service and they say he did, does that affect your vote if you're a Trump supporter? When Donald Trump says that Obama is the founder of Islamic State, ISIS, ISIL, and we know that isn't the case, right? We're all aware of that. Does it bother you? When 50 leading Republicans, in addition to the previous 50, announce that they're not supporting him. When the New York Daily News runs an editorial which says clearly and precisely that they want Donald Trump to withdraw. They say Trump can offer no apology sufficient to make up for insidiously making light of murder. Nor can he explain away or justify planting a notion that could spur a demented follower to kill a political rival, a president, or a Supreme Court justice. And the Daily News says, predictably, his campaign claimed he was obviously talking about American voters who are passionate about their Second Amendment rights and advocating the use that power is in the ballot box. And the Daily News says, but that's not what he said. I am deeply concerned, because I believe that we deserve a choice in November. And what I see happening is that because of Donald Trump, more and more Republicans are saying we're not willing to have him as our candidate. And that's deeply concerning. Can you imagine? Trump said very clearly, Hillary wants to abolish the Second Amendment. That's not what she advocates. Anybody out there want to tell me that that's what she advocates? I find this very disturbing. But more than anything else, I find disturbing the fact that Republicans are caught on the horns of a great dilemma. What do they do? What do they say? You know, this is American democracy at stake. This is the question we have to resolve. Let's go to Keith calling from Petaluma. Keith, welcome to KGO.
Hey, John. I'm a big fan, a longtime listener of you, and I don't know if we have enough time before we end the hour, so let me try to be brief. You've talked a lot about how you used to be a Republican and a supporter of Dick Nixon back in the day, and I have great respect for that. I also have respect for the fact that you changed your views. And then you're now a Democrat and more of a moderate centrist, somewhat liberal Democrat. Can you talk a little bit about how you came to change those views?
Sure.
And also, can you also talk about if you've changed your views, can you really? I hope that you can respect people on the other side.
Oh, I do.
Because you've been on the other side. Yeah, I know you do. And you've been on the other side yourself. That's why you're not a hardcore demagogue ideologist. But in any case, what caused you to change from Nixon? And I hope you don't fall into the stuff about the Southern strategy and all that.
I'm going to give it to you off the bark so you really understand this. I am pro-choice. The Republican Party is against the right of a woman to choose. I am in favor of stem cell research. The Republican Party is against the right of stem cell research. I am in favor of a separation of church and state. I don't believe there should be prayer in school. The Republican Party does, and their platform testifies to that. I am someone who believes that every American should have the right to vote and that no obstacle should be placed in the path of any American voting. And the Republican Party is an advocate for voter ID, which does limit the right of people to vote, which is why the courts are striking all of these down. I have always believed that I am a liberal Republican in the classic sense of what a liberal is. But as George Will, for whom I have great respect and who, by the way, has finally walked away from the Republican Party, as George Will once said, being a liberal Republican is a little bit like being a high church Unitarian. It's possible, but pointless. So when you ask, and I will commend, not that I push books that I co-author or write, I did a biography of Harold Stassen. And the last chapter of the book is about the battle for the soul of the Republican Party. There is no more moderate or liberal wing of the Republican Party. There is no more centrist wing. There is no more Wilkie, Landon, Dewey, Eisenhower, Nixon wing of the party. And if you notice that, then you understand why so many Republicans, who are sometimes called rhinos, have stepped away. Does that answer your question?
Well, it does, but let me ask you this. Are there any centrist Democrats? And I answered that very carefully because I listened to the Democratic Convention. I don't see much room for blue dog Democrats anymore. I think it's extremely the same on the left, on the Democratic Party, as it is on the Republican Party on the right. Both sides have been captured.
Quite the contrary. The Democratic Party has moved very much to the center, and the reason that Hillary Clinton is pulling ahead in the polls is because she is seizing the center. And that, to me, is very, very important. The fact that she has made the conscious decision to move to the center. Dick Nixon once said to me, to win the nomination of a political party, you have to run to the right of the Republicans. But when you're running as a Democrat, you have to run to the left. The one who wins is the one who gets to the middle first. And today, if you look at all the polls, looks like Hillary Clinton. I appreciate the call and the kind words, and I'm delighted to be able to answer the question. We'll continue this. So many of you want to talk about it. It is now 7:30. I'm John Rothman, and for Drex, right here on KGO.
Listen and engage. Listen and engage. The next generation of KGO 810.
John Rothman with you right here on KGO. No place I'd rather be than here with you. I'm in for Drex tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow night as well. And I decided in this hour to talk politics because there's so much breaking. And I want to ask this question, particularly of Trump supporters. What are you thinking today? You see the swing states, according to the polls, rolling into Hillary's column. You see the statements Donald Trump has made. Is this guy, is he self-destructing? Let's go to Mark calling from San Jose. Mark, welcome to KGO.
Hey, John. I just hope that we're not gloating too much, us liberal Democrats, which is what I am, over the demise of Trump. It's actually bringing people across party, high-ranking Republicans are coming over, and I don't know. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I guess it's just a chance for all of us to recognize that this guy's just wrong. We need to group together to get him out of the way so we can move on.
I agree with you, but I have to tell you, one of the problems is going to be to rebuild the party. And I have to tell you, so, you know, Donald Trump gave a speech this week laying out his proposals on the economy. It was a powerful plan, saying that it would help those who have the very least. A lot of analysts disagree. They say the proposal would help those who have the very most. But do you know we've never talked about Donald Trump's approach to the economy? It all got buried in all this other stuff. But I don't want to gloat, not at all. Because this is not a time to gloat. You know what I'd like to have? A real contest between two individuals who are capable of being president of the United States. I was interested in something Barack Obama said. He said he had no concern at all about John McCain or Mitt Romney sitting in the Oval Office. He may not agree with them on issues, but he thought these are two people who can really come to grips with the issues. But he doesn't think that's the case with Donald Trump. 8080810. Do you know that Donald Trump, in his latest proposal, is really trying to figure out how to make the economy work? And of course, we have not talked about it because, frankly, he gets in the way. Let's go to Steve calling from Pleasanton. Steve, welcome to KGO.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I do think this is a giveaway in terms of this election. You know, I'm a Republican, and I'm kind of fine. Hillary will get the 4 years, but maybe it's a broader message to the elite Republicans and to our leadership to not ignore their base anymore. And to we have certain concerns that Trump kind of hit on some of them. And, you know, a lot of what Republicans are about is small government, too, right? So, you know, it's something where I think maybe in 4 years we'll put up a candidate who speaks to the base a little bit better.
Okay, I've got two questions for you. Who was the last small government Republican? And number two, if you could choose an alternative candidate for president today, who would it be?
Yeah, no, in terms of, I'm going to answer the last question first. And I can't really think of anybody, right? So that's the fault of the Republican leadership, not coming up with viable candidates. You know, I actually, and this is totally against the grain, I actually like Christie because I think he was more centrist. He could reach across the aisle to Democrats. Now, I don't agree with everything he said, and for some reason, he's likability's, you know, underwater. But, you know, I do think that we'll get better candidates, we'll get people speaking to the base. You know, one thing that I'll have a couple questions quickly for you is, how is voter ID a problem? I still don't understand that argument at all.
I can't explain it. I'll explain it very simply. A photo ID is a problem because many Americans don't have a photo ID. Many older people don't have a photo ID, and minorities in large numbers don't have photo IDs. I had a call recently from a gentleman who's was trying to get a registration for his mother. And a birth certificate for his mother. His mother was born 70 years ago in a cabin. There is no birth certificate. There is no proof. And I think what we now know is because the courts, liberal and conservative courts alike, have been striking down voter ID laws saying they're clearly discriminatory. And they are. The whole point is they violate the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 said, if you are 18 years old, although in those days it was 21, it was later raised or lowered to 18, there is no restriction on your voting unless you're a felon. That's the only real restriction. So the voter ID is only passed in Republican states, only in Republican states, and that tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess in my circles, and it goes across all races, I obviously know no one without an ID, older folks included, but, you know, I'll take that explanation.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Maybe here in California it's one thing, but go to Alabama, Mississippi, Indiana, Wisconsin, there are a lot of people who don't have photo IDs. All right, go ahead. Second point.
She's going after guns. She is going after guns, and she's chipping away. That's what they want to do.
No, she affirmed her support for the Second Amendment. What she's doing is what many Democrats, including Dianne Feinstein of California, have done, and that is to introduce legislation to try to deal with the abuse of guns, which makes perfect sense to me. You know, if you're a felon or you're mentally ill, you're not supposed to be able to buy a gun. We have restrictions on who can own a gun and who can't. And you know, I had somebody call me the other night who said, well, the Second Amendment says there's no restriction. I said, well, the Second Amendment is true, but look at all of the restrictions we have on people, including, by the way, having to go through a background check. There's nothing wrong with a background check. How do you determine if someone is a felon or mentally ill if you don't have a background check?
I agree with all that. I just think her true motivation is to eventually do away with guns.
Well, see, I don't. And, you know, because there's nothing she has ever said, nothing that she has ever said which would indicate that. Not a line, not a peep, nothing.
Hey, thank you.
All right, I appreciate the call. By the way, I'm happy to answer questions like that. You can call me and ask me anything. If I don't have an answer, I'll tell you. But I'll sure give you a straight-up answer. Let's go to Stan calling from Sausalito. Stan, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. Enjoying the show. Ron Owen spoke today on how he felt and many others that Trump really doesn't even want to be president. I believe that there's no way he's going to be president. That's just my own thoughts based on...
By the way, Ron did a wonderful interview with Gary Johnson today in the 10 o'clock hour.
And I heard it. But I don't like either candidate, and maybe I'm staying in a state of denial, but I want to ask you a question, and you're the right guy to ask. Do you think there's any chance that Hillary would have to step down in the next 90 days?
Okay, the answer...
You could say why, and I'm just knowing that she got through Benghazi, she got through the email server stuff, there's still some other email things out there, but mainly you're in the know, and I'm just wondering what you really think about her.
Stay
her
with me, situation. And I'll answer this question.
Is her health situation...
Her health appears to be fine. There's nothing...
There's no seizures, there's no alcoholism,
no.
There's no fainting, there's no stepping up steps.
Nope, no problem.
Any of that stuff.
No problem, as far as I know. And I monitor these things pretty carefully. But
yeah,
I've got to tell you, there's a second aspect. What happens if any candidate is compelled to drop out, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Thank you.
The answer is the national committee of the political party would meet and designate a new candidate. They would not call a new convention. The only example we have of that in modern history was when Tom Eagleton withdrew as a candidate for vice president in 1972. And on the recommendation of George McGovern, the Democratic National Committee met and selected Sergeant Shriver as the replacement vice presidential candidate. That's the only example we have in recent history. You can go back to when Sonny Jim Sherman died, who was William Howard Taft's vice president, and the Republican National Committee chose Nicholas Murray Butler to be the stand-in for vice president. But the point is, that process devolves to the National Committee.
And do you think that Biden or Kerry... like a Biden-Warren ticket, and everybody I know that is going to vote for Hillary says, but if Biden-Warren were running, or if Kerry, they would far prefer not to have to hold their nose, but rather just go for them.
Democratic National Committee had to choose an alternative candidate,
who do you think
it would be Joe Biden.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Listen, I appreciate the call and the questions. I love the questions. 800-810, the number right here on KGO. We're taking this up to the top of the hour. We'll try to get all the calls in. I am John Rothman, and let me tell you, this one guy who has all the answers.
Where San Francisco comes to share. The next generation of KGO 810.
I'm John Rothman right here on KGO. I want to remind you, the next hour, we're going to talk about one of the most controversial topics I can ever raise, race. And we're going to talk about what happened in Baltimore, Maryland. It is a fascinating and compelling story. That's the next hour. Let's go to Lisa calling from Concord. Lisa, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. I really appreciate you being on. I always enjoy listening to your politics. My question is, is regarding Mike Pence. I'm not a Trump fan, or my politics are opposite than Mike Pence, but is there any thought that he might just have enough and decide to leave the race?
No, Mike Pence is absolutely committed. I'm not sure he's completely comfortable, but it's very clear that Mike Pence is committed and is prepared to defend Donald Trump. And that was part of the condition.
What does that say about his future?
Well, it's a curious thing. Mike Pence made a choice about his political future versus his conscience, and he chose what he thinks is his political future. In stark contrast, Ted Cruz made the choice between his political future and his conscience, and he chose his conscience. And many of the Republicans I talk to are put in that position. They just can't deal with Donald Trump.
I just figured that, I mean, as I said, my politics are opposite than theirs, but he just seems to be taking a backseat to all the controversy. I know he does speak out. But I just felt that if he walked away and said, I can't be next to Crazy Man,
yep.
maybe something would happen.
Well, I have to tell you what's interesting. I will be back tomorrow night, and they're obviously using me more here at KGO. I don't have to talk politics all the time. It happens every day there is another aspect of this, another dimension. And all of the things that I raised at the top of the hour, including the New York Daily News saying get rid of him, Senator Humphrey of New Hampshire, the former senator, saying the Republican National Committee should act to get rid of him, the swing state polls, the Republican Party's in a panic. And what they do to rebuild is going to be critical. Listen, I appreciate the kind words. I'll see you tomorrow night. And, of course, the rest of the evening. Let's go to Leslie calling from San Francisco. Leslie, welcome to KGO.
Good to hear you again, John.
Thank you, Leslie.
And, I bemoan, as you apparently do, what you said earlier is so true. It's too bad we don't have a credible candidate on the GOP side, somebody who's so far, he's in so far over his head as their nominee. And he's just not up to the job of being a serious, credible candidate for president. He keeps uttering platitudes, empty slogans, no detailed proposals. And, of course, the American people can see that there's nothing there. The emperor has no clothes. It's been apparent for quite some time.
And that's why it appears that he is in such deep trouble. Republicans understand that. They know it. But I know you had a question, Leslie. What is it?
Yes, and with him looking to go down in flames so heavily, John, and the Electoral College now so heavily tilting now, even more so than it was a few weeks ago, toward Hillary and Tim Kaine, the GOP is almost certainly going to lose the Senate. They are also in a situation where it's not a sure thing that they're going to retain control of the House. What will the future, in your opinion, of the Republican Party be, the near-term future, if I'm right about the huge debacle?
Yep. Excellent question, Leslie.
Will result in the loss of the
presidential election by Trump. Question. And the answer is the Republican Party, if they face the kind of defeat that the polls seem to indicate, will have to rebuild. And how they rebuild is going to be a topic of vigorous discussion. And I will tell you that that is something I promise you that we will talk about when I'm behind this microphone on KGO. I'm not going to give you a long answer tonight, but I think that it's a critical question, and we'll deal with it. Thanks for calling, Leslie. Let's go to Ava, calling from San Jose. Ava, thank you for your patience. Welcome to KGO.
John, the people voted for Donald Trump. He was their choice. Mm-hmm. Those politicians in Washington and elsewhere should just butt out. The people are going to vote for him or not. It's not up to anybody else. Why are they so concerned? It's none of their business.
You know what they're concerned about, Ava? They're concerned, and I agree with you, Donald Trump was chosen by the Republican Party. He was nominated at the national convention.
Correct.
He contested in the primaries. He
Correct.
Is the nominee of the party. But what's happening is that Republicans are panicking because
Too
they're
bad.
Seeing... Okay, but they. You asked me why. So I want to answer you why.
No, John, you know that's
it's
not
because,
why.
It's because
they
of the polls.
They don't like him. That's all.
And they're
He's
afraid.
Not one of them.
They are afraid, as Leslie just indicated with the last call, that they will lose the House and Senate. And the Republican
John,
Party does not
that's
want
too bad.
To face it.
Yeah, well, the people voted for Trump.
Well, Ava, all I can tell you is that's our choice in November, and we'll see how it moves. I appreciate the call. Let's squeeze Tom from San Jose in. Tom, welcome to KGO.
Hi,
Tom.
I'm responding to that earlier call about voter ID. Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
Real simple solution. Thumbprint scanners. Somebody comes and vote, you get their thumbprint. After the election, you run them. If it shows up more than once, you've got somebody.
Okay, let me explain to you. It's not that I have a problem with this, but I'm going to contrast it with a national ID card. And that is that many people in this country, left and right, are afraid of an intrusive government. And they don't want to have their identities put in a card file. They don't want people to know who they are or where they are. And that applies to people on the left and right. If I had my druthers, everybody would have a national ID card. But people panic at the thought that every man, woman, and child in America would be in a computer system. So if you took a fingerprint, but you didn't have an ID process, it wouldn't work. And that's what the fear is. So you tell me, would you think that if there were a national identity card, in order to vote, you had to have a national ID card? Would you object to that?
It depends on what it takes to get it. Because the part of the problem is, as you pointed out, not everybody has a birth certificate. The fingerprint doesn't have to be in a central registry. You just run it and see if it shows up more than once.
But a lot of people have never had their fingerprint. A lot of people have never had their fingerprint taken. I mean, you'd be amazed at the number of people.
I didn't say I did initially. What I said is just to take it. Then you run a scan and see if it shows up.
But what if it doesn't show up? I mean, I have friends who I know. It wouldn't show up.
Well, no. Yeah, I think you're misunderstanding. When I say I don't show up, I mean no other polling place has the same thumbprint.
Oh, I see. But see, that's not what they're worried about. They're not worried about multiple voting, going to different voting booths. They're worried about a person being qualified at all to vote. So in order to vote, you have to register to vote. That's true. And your name is then at a voting booth or voting place, and you sign the little statement that it certifies who you are. But people don't want their identities to be public. They consider that confidential.
Well, if they have to get a state ID or any ID card, they're basically public.
And a lot
the
of people...
The thing is, if you got somebody who's a felon, you run it against the National Crime Database. If it shows up there... Now you know who to look for.
What do you do if someone has flown under the radar for years and doesn't have any identification, doesn't have a fingerprint? I understand what you're trying to do, but the whole point of the Voting Rights Act was to lift all the requirements. To say to people you have a right to vote, which is what I believe. Listen, I appreciate the call. I'm up against the clock. I do want to make this very clear. I believe in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I believe that every American has the right to vote. And I don't want to do anything to throw an obstacle in anyone's path to be able to vote. Because then you really have election tampering. And that is not a good thing. All right, we're going to leave this topic. We're going to lead off the hour, and I know the phone lines are going to jam on this. The Baltimore Police Department has been under the spotlight since the death of Freddie Gray. The U.S. Department of Justice has issued a damning report after a year-long investigation. All I can tell you is that when you hear the results of this report, there is no doubt of discrimination against African Americans by law enforcement. We're going to talk about that. We are, because it's vital. 808-0810, the number. I'm John Rothman. I'm in for Drex, and you are listening to KGO. San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.